How do you do? How do you do? Certainly is a great thrill for you to see me. How are you? See, I could always tell how good I'm going to do by watching the act before me. It's always good for me to follow a great act like this fella just now. Because I'm not such a sensation myself that I could afford to follow another stiff. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I did a show last week in another place where the act before me was so terrible that throughout my performance, they kept booing him. Couldn't forget how lousy he was. Some people even walked out on him while I was still performing.
Thank you. Good evening. I love those introductions. The star of our show and the star of that great television series, Get Smart. You've never seen Get Smart, have you, sir? No. Okay. Actually, it's great to follow an act like Diane Carroll, because to tell you the truth, I'm not that great that I can afford to follow another stiff. But you don't always find acts like Diane Carroll, you know. I worked at a club a few weeks ago where the act that was on before me, she was so bad that right in the middle of my act, they started booing her. They couldn't forget how lousy she was. Do you know that some people walked out on her while I was still performing? Would you believe that?
You know, I come from rough circumstances. I come from a family of 14 children. 14 children, that's the truth. It all happened because my mother was hard of hearing. I'll explain it to you. You see, every night when it was time to retire, my father would say to my mother, "Would you like to go to sleep or what?" And my mother would say, "What?" They reached the point my father was afraid to say, "What's new?"
I don't understand. My mother had 14 kids. 14 kids. All because she was hard of hearing. I think I better explain that. You see, my mother had 14 kids. My mother was hard of hearing. And every night, when it was time to retire, my father used to say to my mother, "Well, you want to go to sleep or what?" And my mother would say, "What?" 14 kids.
It's time now for the speech of the evening, the bar mitzvah boy of the night, Howard Tomaszewski.
I come from a line of very rough circumstances. 14 children, 14 children, and it all happened because of the fact that my mother was hard of hearing. You ask me how that happened, I'll be glad to tell you, as long as I'm not busy. You see, every night when it come time to retire, my father used to say to my mother, "Would you like to go to sleep or what?" And my mother would say, "What?" Before you know, it was all over the place. There was a time when my father was afraid to say, "What's new?"
You are listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. There we heard a bit player named Howard Tomaszewski on Laugh Records. It's tough to be gifted, black, and Jewish, ripping off the material we heard Don Adams do, who was ripping off the material we heard Jackie Mason do. Two examples of joke thievery. Jackie Mason being ripped off. We heard his tracks off the 1966 Verve release, "I'm the Greatest Comedian in the World, Only Nobody Knows It Yet," by Jackie Mason. And then off the Don Adams LP, Don Adams Live at the Sands Hotel, live. If you want to learn more about Don Adams and his notorious joke thievery, may I refer you to an article I wrote this week for Radio WFMU's Beware the Blog at blog.wfmu.org.
Say, Albert, you know know there was a terrible thing happened out in the parking lot when I was coming in a while ago.
Mercy, Rocky.
Something terrible happened. There was a young lady attacked out there. A feller attacked her. Grabbed her and kissed her and molested her right there in the parking lot. Oh, it's terrible. Terrible. But she reached in her purse and grabbed a hat pin and stuck him in the hand. And by God, it hurt, too. Did you hear about the prostitute that got sick and went to the doctor? The other day, and I walked in and I said, "Doc, I ain't been feeling myself lately." He says, "By God, you're looking better, too." Now, I got laryngitis here in my throat, and I went to see the doctor. No kidding, I did. I walked up there and knocked on the door, and the nurse come to the door. I says, "Is the doctor in?" She says, "No, come on in." But she was lying. He was there. And I went in, and I says, "Doc, I got a cold in my throat." He says, "Go back in that back room, take off all your clothes." I said, "Now, Doc, I just got a cold in my throat. I don't know why." He says, "Go back in that back room, take off all your clothes." So I went back there, and I walked in. There's a guy sitting there with a blue suit on, had a package in his hand. Well, I thought he had a blue suit on. He was just cold. And I said, "Can you imagine that stupid doctor? Just because I got a cold, he tells me to come back here and take off all of my clothes." He says, "What are you griping about? I just come up here to deliver this damn package."
My first time.
The first time on.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain to you what we're going to do.
Fine.
First of all, we work this show with three cameras.
Three cameras?
Yes, we have three cameras.
Goodness.
We have one in the center over here.
Uh-huh.
We have one on the side.
Oh, yeah.
And one over here on this side.
By God.
Now, all three of these cameras are immobile.
They're where?
They're fixed.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they're stationary cameras.
Oh.
They don't move.
You said fixed, I was wondering.
Well, they're fixed in place.
I had my cat fixed a week ago Thursday.
Oh, no. It's not the same thing at all.
Oh, so, terrible Tom, we used to call him.
What's important is...
Oh, he was the terror of the neighborhood.
Well,
we had to have him fixed.
Yeah, but I want you to pay attention.
He just sits in the bread box and stares at me now.
Yeah. Now, it's very important that you...
We call him Sam Spade.
All right. Okay, just forget about your cat for a minute. I have to explain to you what we're going to do. Well, the important thing is just look at the camera where you see the red light. First of all, we'd like you to tell us something about yourself. We know that you are a doctor.
Yes, a DM.
An MD.
MD.
An MD. Doctor, in medicine today, it seems to me that most men are specializing.
Well, what's happening an awful lot today in medicine is that we have found that in medicine that many of the people, particularly the doctors, are specializing.
Yes, well, I'm certainly glad you cleared that up for me.
We were talking about that old last Thursday down at the doctor place.
The hospital.
The hospital.
The hospital, yeah. And how about you, doctor? What's yours?
Bourbon, if you have it.
No. I mean, in what field do you operate, sir?
Well, we don't operate in the field. We have a new building.
No. I know you have a building.
Some of the older ladies complained of grass stains.
That's part of the advance. Well, are you an obstetrics?
No, we're down next to the elevator.
No. Doctor, I mean, you do have a specialty. Someone comes to see you, your name's on the door there.
Oh, yes.
And it's as your specialty.
Right, I'm a surgeon.
Surgeon.
C-E-R-G-O-N.
You're a general surgeon?
Yes, I do.
You do general surgery?
Yes, I am.
Well, whichever is correct, of course, we realize you don't operate alone.
No, we like to have a patient there.
No. Doctor.
You go cutting right through the wood otherwise.
No.
'cause I thought I could have your love all to myself. And there's nothing I can do 'cause you're gonna do what you wanna do anyhow.
To explain how it came to pass that I got fat. Ladies and gentlemen, I got fat as a public service. When I was a child, my mother said to me, "Clean the plate because children are starving in Europe." And I might point out that that was years before the Marshall Plan was ever heard of. So I would clean the plate 4, 5, 6 times a day because somehow I felt that that would keep the children from starving in Europe. But I was wrong. They kept starving and I got fat. So I would like to say to every one of you who is either skinny or in some other way normal, when you walk out on the street and you see a fat person, do not scoff at that fat person. Oh, no. Take off your hat. Hold it over your heart. Lift your chin up high. And in a proud, happy voice, say to him, "Hail to thee, fat person. You kept us out of war."
James Brown, his version of Out of the Blue off his Smash Records LP Showtime. Before that, we heard Alan Sherman and his monologue about being fat off his best-selling Warner Brothers comedy LP, My Son the Nut, Alan Sherman. Before Alan, we heard a song by the Supremes, dark-sounding song by the Supremes called Ba Ba Ba, off their Moody Motown LP, Diana Ross and the Supremes, Reflections. Before that, we heard the comedy team of Rowan and Martin of Laugh in Fame off their Epic Records LP, The Humor of Rowan and Martin. Before that, we listened to a funkified instrumental cover version of the Carl Douglas hit Kung Fu Fighting off an LP titled Disco Train Express, Chinese Kung Fu Crying Crying on Alta Records. And I played a couple awful cuts off a Vanity Pressing comedy record titled Hoot and Naughty. Get it? On the cover, it states, a loud and lively after midnight performance starring Rocky and Hal, recorded live at the Winter Garden. Definitely not suitable for radio broadcast. Whoops. Adults only. I've played some stuff by Rocky and Hal before when we did a country comedy special of the Generation Exploitation podcast, and they were from Washington State, and they were horrible. But Buddy Knox, the man who recorded the song Party Doll, who had some short-lived success as a rockabilly heartthrob in the 1950s, Buddy Knox does the liner notes. That makes sense, since Rocky and Hal were from Washington State, and Buddy Knox generally toured British Columbia and Washington State throughout most of his career after his initial success coming out of Texas. And in between Rocky and Hal tracks, we heard a very groovy version of the theme song from SWAT off a children's LP of all things titled Themes from Hit TV Shows with the Pop Singers and Orchestra on Peter Pan Records.
Love. Recognize that sound? It's the old-time school bell that called your great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers into the schoolroom 100 years ago. Noisy thing, wasn't it? And it brought the kids thundering in from all parts of the schoolyard. That confusion didn't last long, I can tell you, when there was a teacher there with a birch rod handy. Here's another sound. You all know that sound. Probably heard it this morning, and then you filed quietly and sedately into your classrooms. In a way, those two sounds represent 100 years of elementary schooling in Ontario. But there is a lot more difference than just the sound of bells.
Essex, Kent, Elgin, Norfolk, Haldimand. Welland, Lincoln, Wentworth, Halton, Peel, York, Ontario.
The counties of southern Ontario. Chances are your grandfather can still recite them. Certainly your great-granddad could, because every child who went to school 100 years ago had to memorize them, or else.
Ow!
Schoolwork was mostly memorizing in those days, the idea being to stuff as much information as possible into the youngster's head while you had him in school, because you wouldn't have him there very long. And what of the schools of the future? No grades, no exams, no classrooms, no teachers, no school bells at all? Perhaps. Who knows? We can only guess. So let's do some guessing and compare the old school with that of the future. First, we'll visit a school of 100 years ago, then a school of 100 years from now. Let's get into our time machine and go back 100 years. Are you ready? Shinny was the game for the boys, played on skates on the ice, of which there was plenty, with curved clubs cut from a willow tree and a hard rubber ball. No pads and plenty of bruised shins.
Ouch! Oh, I'll get you for that, Gordon McTavish. Just wait and see if I don't. Just you wait and see.
And after school, the boys and girls, large and small, trudge home through the dark winter evening, along the winding trails through the bush. 1, 2, 3 miles to their farm homes where they'll help with the chores. Milking cows, feeding pigs, gathering eggs, splitting firewood, making butter, lugging out ashes. Busy times for boys and girls. And let's leave them there as we come back to 1967. Well, schools today are considerably different from those tiny one-room buildings of 100 years ago. They're bigger, better lighted, better heated, well ventilated. Teachers are better trained. More subjects are taught. The schools need to be different to prepare citizens for this complex modern world. But what if 100 years from now, the year 2067, when Canada is having its 200th birthday, what kind of schools will they have then? What kind of world? Of course, we can only guess, can't we? But let's give it a try. Let's get into our time machine and go 100 years into the future. Are you ready? Away we go. Now we'll see what we will see. What's this? Where there was a field with elm and maple trees? There is nothing but buildings. Strange buildings. Dome-shaped. Made of some kind of plastic. No windows. And strange-looking tower things. Like smokestacks. But no smoke. And where are the children? There are some over there in that enclosure. Hey, some of them are playing ball and skipping and shoving each other. And there's a girl. Just stole a boy's cap. Well, kids haven't changed much anyway. But I still don't see their school. A siren, and the children are all running in the same direction. Let's follow them. They're going toward that door. It's an elevator, the biggest I've ever seen. We're We're going down. Of course, the school is underground. There isn't enough space for everybody on the surface of the earth, and so they are living and working, going to school inside the earth. And those high towers in the buildings are ventilator shafts. Now the children are going into a big room. Say, it's something, large and well lighted. No windows, of course, but beautiful scenes in the walls. And the air is pure and fresh, the heating perfect. And the equipment, well, it's a far cry from the old bare schoolroom of 1867, I can tell you. No desks at all. Long tables with all manner of electronic equipment. Electric typewriters, tape recorders, radio sets with individual earphones. A small television screen for each student. Computers to do the most complicated mathematical problems in seconds. But one thing hasn't changed much. Students still have to think about what's going on in the world. I wonder what is going on in the year 2067. There's the teacher, Professor Evans.
Now, boys and girls, we'll begin our lessons with a discussion of current events. This is a most important day.
Oh, miss!
Miss! Yeah, don't snap. Don't snap, please. Yes, Harry?
It's World Election Day.
Correct. This is the day when people all over the world will be voting to determine the world's government for the next 5 years.
Miss!
Jean? Yes?
And they're voting whether or not to let the colony on Pluto become a full member of the solar community.
Yes, that's right. A most important decision. Now, as you know, Pluto was colonized only 25 years ago, and the people there are now requesting that they be admitted to the universal government. It's hoped that everybody will stay home today and vote.
Oh,
yes, Wilfred?
I was scanning some videotape in the library last activity period, and I came across this thing about how they used to have elections 100 years ago.
That should be very interesting. Tell us about it.
Well, in the first place, only people over 21 could vote.
Yes, I know it seems odd to us now, when everyone over the age of 12 can vote, but in those days, people weren't as well informed as they are now, and it was thought that only older people should be able to vote. Now, what else did you learn?
Well, everybody didn't have a voting machine in their own home the way we do now. They went out to places called polls.
Oh, I never heard of polls.
Yeah, and it took them half a day to figure out who had won the election.
That's correct. Now, because every home voting machine activates a central computer, we know the results immediately. Besides, 100 years ago, there was no world government. Each country had its own government, and that was all.
But, teacher, how did they rule the world? I mean, make decisions and settle problems.
I know.
Yes, Harry?
They fought. They had wars and killed each other.
And look at the quaint old buildings. Oh, you'll notice there was no dome over the city then. That building there is Place Ville-Marie. Now, it's hard to realize now, but it was quite famous in its day. The tallest building in Canada. Oh, you remember that there was some controversy recently about whether it should be torn down. But it had to go to make room for modern buildings. And look, there's an aircraft flying overhead. That was the latest thing in transportation then. There were very few cargo rockets in those days. In fact, I don't think there were any. And now it's time for our literature lesson. Those of you studying Shakespeare, tune your receivers to the British Instruction Center in London, where there is a production of As You Like It. Those who are studying the novel, tune to Paris, where there is a discussion of early French writers. And those who are studying humor, tune to Kuching, where there are some special Leacock readings.
The classroom becomes international, with students around the world sitting in on lectures by experts in every field. Without leaving his local classroom, he can learn at MIT, Harvard, Yale, or Oxford. School libraries will contain videotape recordings as well as books. Perhaps that's the way it'll be. Or we may hear an excuse for absenteeism that will go something like this.
Jean, why were you absent yesterday?
It was the traffic, Professor.
Traffic?
Well, yes. You see, Father got this new spacecraft, the Super Astro 24, and he decided to take us to Mars for the long weekend. You know, World Peace Day?
Yes, I know all about World Peace Day. If you remember, we had a pageant celebrating the formal signing of the disarmament agreement of 1995 that put an end to all wars. You were in it.
Yes, Professor.
And what has that to do with your being absent?
Well, on the way back from Mars, we ran into this space traffic jam. Honestly, I never saw so many space vehicles in all my life. Just thousands of miles of them.
Yes. Go on.
Well, it became impossible to move. So when Daddy got as far as the moon, he decided we'd spend the night there. He was terribly tired. Oh, and we stayed at that new Moon Glow Motel. You know, the one inside the moon?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, Professor, you wouldn't believe it. Moving pictures in every room, swimming pools, and the most gorgeous...
Yes, yes. Well, I guess we can excuse you this time, Jean.
Oh, thank you, Professor.
Provided.
Provided?
That you prepare a videotape about Mars to show to the class. You might call it, let me see. Oh, yes, what I did on my holiday. Now, remember, some of your classmates haven't been to Mars yet. This will give them a chance to see it.
Is that the way it will be? Who knows? Guidance? Computers should be a big help here. Just program the information. Here's Harry.
Let me see. I like arithmetic, so I'll push this button. And I'm good at spelling, so I'll push this one. My father is a veterinarian. His father was a preacher. My mother's father was a farmer. I had a great-great-uncle who was a horse thief. Oh, no. Better leave him out of this. Push the buttons. I like hunting and hockey and swimming and animals. Oh, push these buttons. I'm 12 years old, blue eyes, 5'3.5 inches tall, 100 pounds. My average last month was 73. Push these buttons. Now for the result. My whole future depends on this. Well, let her go. And here it is. Hey, how about that? I'm cut out to be a jockey.
Well, I suppose machines can make mistakes, too. So, learning machines, mechanical textbooks, computers, closed-circuit television, electronic tape, microfilm. They will probably all play a part in the education of 2067.
Years from now, that's The Byrds with Graham Parson off the perennial Columbia Records classic Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And we play that because we were listening to a record before that about 100 years from now or from then, and 100 years before then. The record from 1967, K Canadian School Days, a CFGM radio presentation, 1867 to 2067. What were Canadian schools like then? What will they be like in the future? Each student will have their own personal calculator and earphones. You heard it here, CFGM. And we started off this set with a really great song, Love is Just Like a Baseball Game, by a great group called The Intruders. You are listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Cliff Nesteroff.
From the stratosphere to the now and here, from the vaulted blue direct to you, it's Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Hi there.
I was born to be airborne and to soar beside the stars on a cold November morn. I was born to be airborne. I was born to be airborne and to roar right up to Mars on a clear November morn. I was born to be airborne. Now some squirrels could live in a tree, not me, oh no siree. And some squirrels spend all winter long working on a slave, and then you know what they're saving. Nuts, not for me, for we. I was born to be airborne and to soar beside the stars. Yes, it's plain as plain can be, I love flying for you, see. I was born to be airborne. Soar beside the stars. Yes, as plain as plain can be, I love flying for you, see. I was born to be airborne.
Now, here's that bellowing baritone, that trembling tenor, that alto with antlers, my friend Bullwinkle Moose.
Howdy, record players! I'm Rocky's pal, I'm Rocky's chum, so greetings, culture bugs. I soar through space at such a pace, but why must I always fall on my face? I'm always true to Rocky, who can count on me, yes, siree. I'm fierce and lion-hearted, though I read poetry. I'm brave and real, quick-witted and noble as a noble steed. I'm sturdy like Gibraltar, and nothing can alter that, yes, siree. Oh, Bullwinkle the Moose, that's me.
We're on a record at last.
Yeah, sort of makes me dizzy spinning around like this. And around, and around, and around.
What's the matter, Bullwinkle?
Must have a scratch on my tonsils.
Well, what'll we do on our record?
We'll stand on our record is what?
You know what I mean.
Yeah. How about if I do my famous juggling act like this?
No. It's got to be something people can hear.
Believe me, when I juggle, you can hear it. Maybe I better practice some more.
Maybe you better read poetry instead.
Maybe you were right. Say, Mr. Peabody, can we use one of your adventures on our record?
Bullwinkle, that part's all over long ago.
It is. I just got up here to the penthouse, you know.
Just got here?
I had to use the stairs.
Well, why didn't you use the elevator?
Because some dirty guy has stopped the elevator between floors and is charging the people $100 to get out.
Impossible. Who could do such a dirty trick?
Allow me to introduce myself. Boris Bedenov at your service, with my partner in crime, Natasha.
Hello, darlings.
If you'll excuse us, we're getting ready to make a record.
Of course, precisely why we are here. Natasha, hand me my belly like it. I'm Boris.
I'm Natasha.
We're no good mix through and through. So, darling, no good mix. We sing this song for you.
We ain't got no scruples when it comes to gaining our ends.
We were single, double and triple cross, our very closest friends. So come and sing our old school song, fellow no good mix, sing along. Ya-choo, ya-ya-ya, up with Boris Natasha. Ya-choo, walla-walla-ling, this is how no good mix sing. Boris Natasha, ya-choo, walla-walla-bing, this is how no good mix sing. Hey, once more from the top, ya-choo, ya-cha-cha, what happened to the music?
Boris.
I got three more choruses to go.
Too late, darling, music is over.
Why those?
But Boris, we're near the end.
Oh, good.
Good?
Of course, what I say after this is off the record.
For they're done with tongue in cheek. You can peek way back in time and see how these tales began.
Once upon a time, there was a little girl who was called Red Riding Hood because she was, that's why. Anyway, one day she was going through the woods to Grandma's house to sell her a membership in the PTA. As she went, she sang a song.
La, 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 la.
That's not much of a song.
Well, I'm not much of a singer. La, 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 la.
Now, although Red didn't know it, on the path up ahead, a wolf was waiting
I hereby swear that I'll be good. I will not eat a riding hood.
Well, what's all this?
I just joined Riding Hood's Anonymous.
What?
I'm trying to kick the Riding Hood habit.
La, 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 la.
When you see a Riding Hood, greet her as a friend you should. Hello, Red Riding Hood!
Oh, woof, woof, woof.
When you are misunderstood, extend your hand to Riding Hood. Put her there, pal! Now wait! Really, Red, I'm a new wolf. I sworn off Riding Hoods. See? Words of courage and hope to Riding Hood eaters.
Is this on the level, Wolf?
Sure. Listen here. Stick with your promise not to eat. Fight that urge for a Riding Hood treat.
If you're really my friend, you'll buy a PTA membership.
I'll take a dozen. I'll even deliver your basket for you.
65 stores and still growing. The Oakdale Mall is almost a year old. This Wednesday, the anniversary celebration and sale begin. All next week at the mall, there'll be a balloon sculpture, and tomorrow is the last day you can see the National Hunting and Fishing Conservation Display. See guns, traps, furs, and fly tying. Best of all, wildlife artist Bill Neat will be on hand to draw all your favorite wildlife subjects. What an anniversary! The Oakdale Mall, an enclosed world for your comfort and convenience. The mall has it all.
Wonderful town, wonderful people, places to go, things to see. My love is Binghamton, that's my wonderful town. Beautiful homes, schools and churches, entertainment, places to shop. My heart's in Binghamton, that's my wonderful town. Binghamton, a center of transportation, business and banking and industry. Binghamton, a center of communication, a home of WKOP.
Binghamton is great to live in and work in,
a friendly and happy place to be. My love is Binghamton, that's my wonderful town. Binghamton. Washington has colleges and schools
and important industry.
Binghamton has a ball, but that's not all.
Binghamton has W-K-O-P.
Binghamton has the Robertson Memorial,
and the triplets are great to see.
We have the summer theater and the opera too.
And Binghamton has W-K-O-P.
Listeners in Johnson City and Endicott and Windsor agree. From Endwell and Vestal to Whitney Point, they like W-K-O-P. WNBF 12-9 WNBF Loving Radio. WNBF with the now sound.
Opus 71 by Alexander's for women, pets and things, and WNBF.
WAKY news is first and fast. Keep up to date with the station that's great. It's WAKY for the latest reports from the world of sports. To WAKY,
refreshing WAKY plays music just for you.
79 WAKY, 79 WAKY, 79 WAKY, the big 79 WAKY, the big 79 WAKY, Louisville, Kentucky,
WAKY,
Louisville music,
WAKY,
the big 79 from beautiful downtown Louisville.
WAKY,
Louisville, Kentucky,
WAKY,
WAKY, Louisville.
Kevin McCarthy, Bill Bailey, W-A-K-Y, 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 Wacky.
That does it for this edition of the Generation Exploitation Podcast. Just enough time to tell you that you're listening to a whole bunch of random radio air checks from the 1960s and 70s, New York, Philadelphia, Louisiana. We also listened to the Golden Records LP, Rocky and His Friends, the original Golden Record based on the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon show featuring the voices of June Foray, Bill Scott, and Paul Frees. I will talk to you next week.
KGB San Diego, KYNO Fresno, WRKO Boston, WHBQ Memphis,
KFRC, San Francisco. WORFN, New York. KAKC, Tulsa.
Tocando conmigo.